In the name of our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. Today the readings are about baptism. If you look at the next slide, you know I like art history. This is a fresco from Italy from 1280. You see the power of the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, kind of. But it's like a person coming down upon Jesus. So the question for us today, the next slide, is what was your baptism date? In a church in Texas where I served for a while, not only did we celebrate birthdays and anniversaries, but we also celebrated the anniversary of your baptism. As you joined the royal priesthood, the priesthood of all believers, said Martin Luther. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The priesthood of all believers. So how many of you, like me, were baptized as an infant? Okay, how about maybe a preteen? Okay, what about a teen? How about an adult over 18? Okay. So some of you might remember your date, some may not. Mine, the next slide, was 37 years ago. No, sorry. That's my ordination date, sorry. 59 years ago, when I was 10 weeks old. Freudian slip. The next slide is the ordination of the diaconate 37 years ago on January 10th last year. The next slide. 22nd ordination anniversary yesterday to the diaconate as I begin my 23rd year. And thank you. Where is the flower person? Joyce, thank you for the beautiful flowers. So, how many of you do remember your date? Or do you know the date? I had to go look it up when I was being ordained. I had to go back and call Highland Park Presbyterian Church in Dallas, Texas, and say, you know, do you have these records? And luckily they did. Anybody remember your date? Okay, when was your date?
August 12th,
1957. Who else? Second Sunday of June, 1949. Cindy?
I don't remember
the decade, but the year was 1941. 1941. Amen. All right, Jim.
November 1956.
Let's look at the next slide. This is a beautiful painting from the 1500s, again in Italy. What we're going to do today is renew our baptismal covenant. A covenant, if you remember, is a relationship, a promise between God and a person. So if you remember your baptism and were, you know, aware of it as a tween or, you know, a teen or an adult, you made a covenant with God at the time of your baptism. If you don't remember, like me, your parents or godparents made a covenant with God at the time of your baptism. Now, I want to share a couple of things about that. So, how many of you ever went out and had a house built? So, you know, the architectural plans, you've got the soil samples, you've got the construction company, you've got the permitting. Oh, isn't that fun? The permitting. Those are the foundation pieces to building a house. And we all have a spiritual house. So I lived in Florida for many years, and when I would run over to Naples from Miami when a hurricane was coming, and my mom did the same, because I don't know, you, of course, you've seen on TV when hurricanes sometimes hit houses, they just collapse and wash away. In North Texas, where I live, is near Tornado Alley. In Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, tornadoes come through, rip a house, and it's gone. Pacific Palisades, Altadena, the fire a year ago, on the 7th of January. People had just moments to get out. Bob Russo, where's Bob? Bob's brother lost everything. He had moments to get out of his house. Sometimes things rip at our houses. Sometimes things rip at our spiritual houses. Take a look at the next picture. This is from 2005. But the covenant that we make or was made on our behalf are those foundations of our spiritual house. Now, our house is never fully completed until we take our last breath. We're always learning and growing and becoming better people and more godlike and spiritual. So our house is still under construction. Now, how many of you actually lived in your home during construction or redoing and all of that? I don't know about y'all, but that would freak me out and cause me to have a stress attack. How many of you moved out or found somewhere else to live? That's what I would do. So today we renew our baptismal covenant, and let's look at the collect of the day, the next slide, and the one that's right after that, Russell. The collect, the prayer that collects our thoughts, that's what that means, reads, Father in heaven, who at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan proclaimed him your beloved son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. That's why we have chrismation that's made on our forehead in the sign of a cross with holy oil. We are anointed with the Holy Spirit in God and marked as Christ's own forever. Then it says, grant that all who are baptized into his name may keep the covenant they have made. May keep the covenant we have made and boldly confess God as Lord and Savior. So I'm going to ask you to take out the prayer book, the red book. The blue one's the hymnal. The prayer book is the red one. I want you to know where this covenant is actually in the prayer book. We're going to have it on the screen too, but if you turn to page 304, Janice, can you lend a prayer book to the front row? Thank you. 304. The first part, when we do a baptism, is the first three questions is the Apostles' Creed. Then we have two questions at the bottom of 304 and three questions at the top of 305. So the first question is, will you continue in the Apostles' teaching and fellowship? Fellowship meaning community, whether it's community here in person or community of the 65 people who throughout the week watch us live stream, who some cannot are not ambulatory and cannot get around. The breaking of bread, Holy Communion, the sacrament of baptism and communion are the two primary sacraments. And those at home who want communion, just let us know. We'll bring it to you. And the prayers. This is kind of the first one we start with. So I'm going to read this and ask you to respond. Will you continue in the Apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? Next slide. This one is a tough one. Will you persevere in resisting evil? And whenever you fall into sin, fall, meaning we miss the mark, sometimes as people because we're not perfect, we fall into sin. Sin being defined as anything that's not with God. And resisting evil in the world. I'm not going to define evil for you. You can figure that out for yourself and what that means. So whenever that happens to us, we then confess with a humble, contrite heart and ask God to forgive us, whether it's done in a personal prayer, confession between you and God, or corporately like we do in the church to remind us of confession, or with the private confession of a priest if something's really on your heart. And in my 37 years, I've only heard about five confessions. so that we repent, we turn back to God and return. Now, I want to tell you the next slide, a little story I heard yesterday when I was driving. I listened to 3 o'clock on NPR on Saturdays, the Moth Radio. Anybody listen to that? So right after that, they were doing a little commercial for an upcoming interview with Margaret Atwood, the author of The Handmaid's Tale. And you might have seen, anybody seen that on Netflix, the series? So the little teaser that the radio said, she said, quote, "I'm a vengeful person." And the interviewer was like, "What?" And she said, "I'm a vengeful person. I can't help it. It's part of my nature." And the interviewer was like, "Oh, wow, we've got to really talk about this." Kudos to her honesty. And then I thought to myself as I was driving, am I a vengeful person? If so, what causes that? Do I hold grudges and want revenge? Maybe it depends how deeply you've been hurt. I remember one time someone was talking about Dennis and my daughter, my stepdaughter, Anna, and they were not very nice. And I said, "You know, you can talk about me and to me about anything you want. I've got a rhinoceros skin, but don't talk about my daughter." I was able to finally let that go. But are we vengeful people? If somebody messes with our family, maybe so. Is it part of our nature? Would you have to ask yourself that rhetorical question? So let's do the next slide and answer this together. Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Next slide. Will you proclaim by word, coming from your heart, an example of your life, the good news of God in Christ? The good news means gospel. So is your life a gospel? We hear from the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Sandy, the Gospel of Tom, the Gospel of Susie, the Gospel of Debbie, the Gospel of Scott, the Gospel of put your name there. Is the good news of Christ, the light and love of Christ, shining forth from you as in your life as a witness to that love? Let's go to the next. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Another one, the next one, a little bit difficult. Will you seek and serve the Christ, which is in each of us, the light of Christ? Will you seek out and serve Christ in all persons? Uh-oh. Have you got your list? Can we do that? All people. Doing what with that? Loving our neighbor as ourselves. We don't have to like everyone, but we do have to love everyone through the love of Christ, the agape love of Christ. It's impossible to like everyone. Look at Paul's epistles. He's like, salutations in the name of the Lord. Can't y'all get along over there at Thessalonica or Colossae or whatever? And then he gives them a theological piece and brings them back together. All persons. Let's try that. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will.
And finally, will you strive for justice, whatever that means to you, your definition perhaps, which could be different for different people, and peace? Sometimes justice does not promote peace. Sometimes silence is complicity, and you have to stand up for what's right. And then respecting the dignity of every human being. The core issue, the core essence, the dignity. Now, there are 500 protests this weekend over the killing of Renee Good, the woman in Minneapolis. And I've looked at a couple of the videos, I'm sure you have too, and one of the things she's purported to have said as she was about to drive off is, "I don't hate you." Something like that. That was that she's not full of hate, that she was standing up for what she believed. And now perhaps she's become a martyr, bringing protest around how all this is being done. Every human person deserves dignity, including the ICE officer, including Renee Good. So as Christians, will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? So the next slide, the five vows that we've taken, the covenant taken on our behalf or that we took, are the foundation, are that blueprint, the architectural plans of anyone who calls themselves a follower of Jesus or a Christian. Next slide. So how is your spiritual house? January 11th, 2026. Do you need to remodel part of the room? Do you have some mold growing that you need some remediation? Perhaps like Margaret Atwood's example? Do you have to close down a room and blow out the back of your house to add some more for the spiritual abundance in your spiritual house? What does that look like? Imagine your house. When I was going through the interviews and psychological exams for ordination, all that, they gave us a big, giant sheet of paper and said, draw a house. And what you put in the house, you know, the little windows and the garden and the front and the picket fence, that was subconsciously to show that's you. And the psychologist analyzed it, and luckily I got through. What is your spiritual house look like? Is it healthier when you put down the social media? Turn off the MSNBC, or I don't even think that's around anymore, or the Fox News, or whatever it's called. Is it the fact that you come to church to love, that we don't preach politics, that we talk about Jesus and the baptism and the vows and the love of this community with each other that nourish us? What does your house look like? And again, it's never completed till we take our last breath. So maybe there's a little work we got to do in 2026. I probably got some work. I got to think about the Margaret Atwood thing, personally, because I'm not perfect. May God bless us with the honesty, the courage, the wherewithal, the love, the compassion, to look inwardly, to build that house, to make it stronger, better, not only during this time of Epiphany, but for the rest of our lives. And we pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.